Arizona Senators Martha McSally and Kyrsten Sinema may have had an epic battle on the campaign trail last year, but now they're joining together to sponsor a bill that works to address our region's dry future. The bill would set aside hundreds of millions of dollars to support things like water recycling, desalination plants, and water storage projects. But how big of a dent could projects like these have on our water future? For more on that, our co-host Lauren Gilger sat down with Sarah Porter, director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at the Morrison Institute at ASU.
Being able to pick from a variety of different approaches depending on the locality and the available water supply can make a huge difference for water resilience all over the Southwest. So it can be significant. We do a lot of water reuse in Arizona, but some communities are looking at doing even more and specifically putting direct potable reuse in their future. So adding that kind of reuse can greatly increase a city's water portfolio. Underground storage is something that's being deployed all over Arizona. That kind of aquifer recharge and recovery is something Arizona's water managers are really good at. Having funding to be able to develop infrastructure to add that kind of water cycle, that treatment, recharge, recovery, is helpful. But the other big piece of this bill is that we have a lot of infrastructure that's really, really old. I think the average age of Bureau of Reclamation infrastructure is something like 80. We have all these dams that are 100 years old or 80 or 75 years old. And having the financing to enable the managers of these big projects to bring them up to date, to make sure that they're not losing lots of water through the kinds of leaks and breaks that occur as a system ages, that's also an important part of long-term water resilience.
So some of this in your mind would be used just to upgrade and upkeep the systems we already have in place.
Yeah, and that really is part of staying water resilient.
Yeah. What about desalination? I mean, that's one that we've talked about in Arizona. We have a desalination plant in Arizona, I think,
yeah,
but I don't
do.
Think it works.
I think it's being kept in condition to work if it were needed. It's located in Yuma, and it isn't the kind of desalination plant that, I mean, it does desalinate water, but it's not for what people mostly think of when they think of desalination. Typically, when we think of desalination, we're thinking of taking water that's brackish or salty and running it through filters so that that water can be an augmentation to current supplies. And so ocean desal is one option, and there are serious conversations going on between the United States and Mexico about a potential binational ocean desalination project. For Arizona to benefit from a project like that, probably Arizona would need, or some water users in Arizona would need, to reach a deal in which Mexican water users or managers would agree to take ocean desalination in place of some of the Colorado River supplies that would be delivered to Mexico. And then those Colorado River supplies could be delivered via the CAP or to other parts of Arizona.
Right, because it wouldn't obviously be ocean water we'd want to desalinate here.
It would be very, very expensive to desalinate ocean water and then have to pump it to any place in Arizona.
Right.
So we're probably not looking at that.
So how does this square with the drought contingency plan we've been talking about for so long now that has finally just been approved and is sort of set up to deal with the same question about Colorado River water? Is this sort of our leaders looking at the reality of the situation and saying at some point we're not going to have the Colorado River water we need, and so we need to think of other ways to innovate?
I think that water managers and leaders are saying there's a possibility of reduced Colorado River supplies, and so we need to have a number of different strategies for responding to that. There's still quite a bit of opportunity within the state for voluntary reallocation. There are water rights holders who may be willing, under the right circumstances, to lease or sell some of their water to other places that need it. So we don't need to rush to building desalination plants or other kinds of expensive projects, but we need to be those projects often take a long time to sort of plan and get approved. And so it's important to be working on those.
So the other sort of question I have about this bill is the approach. Like, is legislative action, is federal money going to be the future of this? Like, is that going to be the way we have to fund the future of our water preservation in the Southwest? Or is this going to be a combination of that and market needs?
Yeah. Well, we've historically, we really relied out in the West on federal funding. So it's not new for communities to be looking to federal financing for help. We've been sort of reckoning over the last decade or so with what feels like a new reality, which is that the kind of financing that was available back in the day isn't available anymore. It used to be, even with the CAP, that the federal government would come in and just pick up the tab for the front costs to build these projects. And then water users, the water authority, would be required to pay back that financing over a very long term. Mm. We are still paying back the loan that the federal government extended in the late 70s to pay for the CAP.
So this is not a debt-free solution.
No. I mean, it's a really interesting area, and I think we often overlook this, that we expect the water users, the people who benefit from the water project, to pay for the water project. And that really brings up an issue that I think is sometimes the hardest issue to grapple with in water supply, and that is that to pay for that project, you have to have a good shot at having the population base or the user base to pay it off.
Right.
And so some places around the state look like pretty good bets for that. There are other places that may be water challenged, and they may not be such good bets for those loans because it is unlikely that they'll develop that kind of population or water user capacity to pay back the loan. We do need to think about where it makes sense to grow.
All right. Sarah Porter is the director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at the Morrison Institute at ASU. Sarah, thank you for coming in.
Sure. Thanks very much.